Welcome to Let the Quran Speak. I'm Aisha, your host. When the infidelity dating site Ashley Madison was recently hacked, personal details of more than 33 million user accounts were published on the web. The hack of Ashley Madison was framed by its perpetrators as an act of retribution, punishing the company for alleged lies to its customers. This hack, as noted by Toronto Police, is one of the largest data breaches in the world. What does the existence of sites like Ashley Madison say about how we value marriage? Privacy is important in both Islamic and Western law. But should sinful acts like adultery be protected by privacy? Joining me is Dr. Shabir Ali. Welcome to the show, Dr. Shabir.
Pleasure to be on.
So just reinforcing the facts again, 33 million users. There are now divorce cases that are being filed that we've heard of. And there's also been two unconfirmed suicides that are being claimed that they're linked to this breach of privacy. Taking all of this into context, what value does marriage hold in our society today?
Well, of course, marriage should always be valuable to society, and this is why in the world's great religions, marriage holds such an important function. It brings people together in a family relationship so that it provides a nurturing environment for children. But by and by, this value of marriage has come to be reduced in the minds of people as people have moved a little further away from religion. People have become more individualistic. They're looking for their own pleasures, their own satisfaction, whereas any relationship requires some kind of sacrifice, commitment, and cooperation and compromise. So one cannot do just simply what one wants to do and what pleases oneself. One has to look now within a marriage or in any relationship for what will be satisfactory to all in the relationship. And with society moving away from religion and towards a greater stress on individual pleasures, we are seeing some of the results as one of these.
But are we really moving away from religion? Because I'm seeing a double standards approach here. So when it was done privately, it was okay. Nobody had any issues because you didn't know about it. But now that it's becoming public, the CEO of Ashley Madison recently resigned. There's been issues of, you know, public shaming, reputation. So how do we make sense of all of that then?
Well, it's not okay because it's done privately. Of course, some people think that it's okay, but mostly it's recognized that when people get into a committed relationship that they should not be cheating on the side, whether we call that committed relationship a marriage or even people just simply committed to each other in a monogamous type of relationship. So cheating is by all standards out of line. But there is a difference between cheating privately and now making that information public. The discovery that somebody close to you has been cheating, this is shocking enough and disturbing for relatives and people who are close to that person. Let's say the person's spouse and children especially. But so that's the discovery itself. But then the revelation of this in public, this adds to the shame and confusion and disturbance in the mind of the persons who are close to the cheater.
So this is a good segue into the next part of the discussion, which is how does privacy factor into Islam, given that, you know, all of this happened because somebody hacked into the system, and this is how all of the information was leaked.
Yes, well, privacy is valued in the Islamic faith. In the 49th chapter of the Quran, we are told specifically, لا تجسسوا, do not spy on each other. We are told in the 24th chapter of the Quran that you are not to enter houses other than your own without first announcing your presence and giving the greeting of peace on the dwellers of the house. The exception is made for a house that is totally abandoned and you have some reason to go in there, like let's say there is a game you were chasing and it went into that abandoned, let's say ruined house. But so long as it's an occupied dwelling, you are to announce your presence and obviously you wait for the permission for you to enter, so you do not peep into somebody's dwelling. It is even mentioned in the hadith attributed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, that he spoke very harshly about a person who actually peeped through a crack into a house. And We know from Islamic law that you can't gather evidence by, well, first of all, you can't persecute or prosecute somebody based on a suspicion. It is mentioned that somebody said to Ibn Mas'ud that this other guy, you know, his beard smells of wine. We know that drinking wine is prohibited in the Islamic faith. So the smell of the person's beard might have been taken as circumstantial evidence that he had been drinking wine. But Ibn Mas'ud said, no, we just judge by what is obvious and we don't go into such secrets of people. So if he had drank wine privately and now his beard smells of it, that's his own business according as far as the Islamic law is concerned. A more humorous case is reported about Omar, the second caliph of Islam. It is said that in one of his rounds through the town, he heard a person raving because he had been drunk and he was reciting some poetry and so on. So Omar scaled the person's wall to go and confront him. And then this person, drunk as he was, started to reprimand Omar because Omar was breaking all of the rules, scaling a person's wall without permission and so on. So in the end, that person had to be left alone. But this story has left in the minds of Muslims the importance of privacy. We don't look into what people are doing in their private moments.
But from the hacker's perspective, I understand all of that. But what if from a hacker's perspective, they were doing it to help other people? You know, obviously we don't have any information that this is why the hackers were doing it. And to give you an example, there have been articles by the BBC where they've been interviewing people who found out that their spouses, you know, were on this website and in fact were disloyal to them and did have affairs. So from that perspective then, does this make this okay in some ways? Because in some ways it's a good thing, because this person would never have known if it wasn't hacked. So,
well, these are ethical problems that need to be discussed further, and experts will have to weigh in on this. We're just seeing some of the problems that result from the point of view of clinical psychology. To reveal this kind of information in public is quite devastating to people who are close to the cheaters. Fixing the errors of companies that, for example, promise to delete information and even charge a fee for deleting it and do not actually delete the information, which is what these hackers are saying they were trying to expose. Things like this need actually to be dealt with, but the particular way of dealing with it, this now needs to be studied, and hacking into accounts in this way, revealing private information in this way may not be the best way as a precedent for people to follow in pursuing such lofty goals as getting companies to do the right thing. So how exactly to proceed and how to get the companies to shape up and do what is right, this requires some further thought. But we are all reeling from this information as it's coming forward. And as you said, there are unconfirmed cases of suicide, and that raises the alarm level to alert us to the dangers that can result from such breaches.
So Islamically, is it ever okay then to expose a sin publicly?
Well, we make a distinction between things which are done privately and things which are done publicly. Things which are done privately, we correct privately, and things which are done publicly, we correct publicly. Largely to warn others about the evils that they have witnessed. So if people haven't witnessed those evils, then we don't need to expose it to all and sundry. But if it's already exposed to all and sundry, then we talk about it in public so that people can be warned and they can be well advised to stay away from such evils.
You've given, I think, all of us a lot to think about. So thank you very much, Dr. Shabir.
You're quite welcome.